Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
All right, today on the podcast, we're talking about Elon Musk's Grok. They just released version 1.5 Vision, which is a multimodal upgrade to open source model that allows for processing of visual information. And last week, we talked about how Claude is kind of incorporating some of this in their AI. But it's really powerful to be able to have the model assess visual information and then give you feedback based on that. Jaden, what are your thoughts on this so far?
Okay, so I have like a bunch of different thoughts. The first one being, it felt like OpenAI, like for the last year, had just been like this leader, untouchable giant. And now it feels like almost every major company that's thrown their hat in the ring for this AI is like creeping up on them. When you start looking at the benchmarks, you know, this new multimodal version is like getting pretty comparable to GPT-4's Vision. And it seems like, and like, you know, Gemini even, and it seems like everyone's kind of creeping up. I'm wondering if OpenAI has some magic up their sleeve or if they're kind of stumped. You know, anyways, that's another question. But talking about this new version here, I actually think this is kind of like an underappreciated AI model. Not a lot of people talk about this. They got this, like the original version of this thing, trained in 3 months. And now they've been doing updates and changes. And, you know, it's kind of like Elon Musk's brand name that attracted a lot of the top researchers to this project. That's how they could probably get this thing spun up so fast. But really impressive by what they've done. They've done, they've benchmarked this against a bunch of different models, and it's performing very, like, very well. And it has something that most of these other models do not have, and that is that it is open source, meaning theoretically, you could take this model without having to pay Elon Musk or XAI or whoever, embed it into your own product, and run this thing to essentially, you know, on device, not have to pay fees, and you have like an AI model that's very powerful. So yeah, I think this is super, super fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really just new tools rolling out. I came on across one the other day. It was basically like a chat. It was AI for your business, and you could train it on your own information. So they basically, one of the things they were advertising was like a employee training AI. So it knows all the, you know, company policies, vacation days, can answer any question based on, you know, that specific company. So like you said, I think having this open source model is going to really make it come to market faster and be able to be really utilized by businesses. So super cool stuff.
Super cool. Talking about exactly what it can do, just so people have an idea. So this new Grok 1.5V, it can process anything visual, right? So documents, charts, screenshots, photos. There's been a lot of really interesting product demos recently coming out that need these kind of multimodal AI models. So one example is like the Meta VR glasses with cameras embedded, and they can see things. Once you start pairing those with these AI models, now you can use a tool like that that's got a camera on it, and you could talk to it like, hey, what is this that I'm looking at? You know, how do you solve this math problem? And it's looking through your camera and like telling you. So I think that's a fascinating concept. We had another demo recently of the Humane AI pin, which I know it's getting a lot of flack right now because, there's a big viral YouTube video on it about how bad it is. But it has a camera on it, and it's the same idea. You tap the thing, you talk to it, and you ask it, you know, how does this work? And it's running off of that. What's interesting to me is these are two very interesting use cases coming from, like, their hardware use cases coming from big companies. So right now, you can kind of expect, like, obviously, Meta has their own AI models they can embed into this, and Humane probably makes some partnerships, or maybe they make their own. But when we start seeing these open source versions, I expect we're going to start seeing a ton of new hardware devices that can be running like a Grok 1.5 on them. And because that's free and cheap, it's going to make it way easier for this hardware to kind of just proliferate, and like these AI models are going to be on everything, right? Forget like Internet of Things, where you have like your microphone connected to the internet. Now it's going to be like there's an AI model running in my microphone that, like, without being connected to the internet, I can talk, and it can change my voice to be like, you know, George Clooney or anyone else. Or, you know, like, there's going to be some really crazy use cases, I think, that'll be coming down from this.
Yeah, I don't think people realize, you know, how big of a deal this is, but I actually saw on Mac Rumors that they're talking about iOS 18 having integrated AI features. And I guess I just am picturing like this, the whole visual processing thing paired with that. Like imagine like a furnace technician coming to your house. They're maybe not a, you know, senior level person, but they could just take a picture of the wiring diagram, figure out and diagnose what's wrong. And they don't even have like the, you know, expert training that someone would. So there's just, there's so many use cases with this. I just think we don't even really realize the possibilities yet.
Yeah, and you bring up a really interesting point because this is something a lot of people are talking about. They're saying with iOS 18, when it comes out, it's going to have a lot of like built-in AI things. And they're saying like with the new iPhone, it's going to have like really powerful new chips built in that can run AI models. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do because the rumors right now is that Apple is not going to be sending the data to the cloud. It's going to be all based right on the device, on the phone or on the Mac. And it's going to be running that. Now, that's amazing for a lot of reasons. If you don't have internet reception or internet, you can do this. You also have way less latency if you don't have to send it to a server, get it computed in the server, get it sent back to you. So you can have like way faster and more intuitive conversations with things and responses from these AI models. But then the question becomes like, what AI are they going to be running? Is it going to be developing their own in-house things? There's a bunch of rumors that Apple was talking to Google to get Google Gemini on the iPhone. So I'm super curious to see where this goes, if they're going to have this kind of partnerships or if they, you know, get something like Grok embedded or let you choose the AI models that you're running on your iPhone, kind of like you get to choose your browser. I think that'd be also pretty fascinating.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting announcement now that I think about it, because they don't really have their own proprietary AI software, at least that I know of. So they're going to have to integrate one. So it'll be interesting to see what they put on there.
Yeah, this is absolutely fascinating. And then as far as this whole Grok thing goes, XAI, something, one other really interesting thing that I think they did here is they actually, a lot of times you see all of these AI companies say, you know, like we ran our AI model through a bunch of different benchmarks and here's how good it is compared to the other AI models. They actually created their own benchmark, which I have two thoughts on. Number one, that's kind of funny because like you can make a benchmark that just reflects really well on you. But apparently they actually made this because it's like it does a bunch of unique things that the other benchmarks don't do. What it's called is Real World QA, which I'm assuming stands for Real World Quality Assurance. But essentially this new benchmark can evaluate spatial understanding. So because the new Grok 1.5 is a vision model, they want to like actually measure how it's going to spatially do things. So I'll give them like, I'll give them a pass on this, that like I haven't actually seen a lot of other benchmarks that are touching this right. They're more like reasoning or math or like other things. So, you know, actually doing spatial understanding is kind of a new thing. So I'll let it slide that they invented their own benchmark. But of course, they are the best in that benchmark. So, you know, you always got to take that with a grain of salt.
Well, I mean, I think spatial reasoning kind of plays into exactly what Elon Musk is trying to do with robotics, with, you know, the self-driving thing. So I think that is, that benchmark, you know, is relevant, especially moving forward with future robotics and stuff using AI. But yeah, that is funny that they made their own benchmark.
That is true. That's true. I think with everything they have going on in robotics, Grok AI, let's be honest, the Tesla's Optimus robot is going to get Grok AI embedded in it. It's going to be powered by it. So like the updates coming here are actually pretty substantial. When you look at the benchmarks, this thing's actually quite competitive. It's interesting. It's going to be really crazy. And I think it might just be one of those underdogs not a lot of people talk about. But it's like if this thing actually gets embedded into the Optimus robot and, you know, they create like 10 million robots, like that's, you know, that's quite a well-used AI. So going to be fascinating to see how this rolls out in the future. If you enjoyed the podcast today, if you learned anything new, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review. If you're on Apple, scroll down, leave us some stars, leave us a comment, tell us what you think. If you're listening on Spotify or YouTube or anywhere else, make sure to drop a comment. We really appreciate all of them, and we hope that you all have an amazing rest of your day.